नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भागवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text numbers 45 through 46. Padma Kosha Palakshakam, pardon me, Palashaksham Sundara Bhru Sunasikam Sudvijam Sukapolasyam Sama Karna Vibhushanam. Padma Kosha Palashaksham. Padma Kosha Palashaksham. Sundara Bhru Sunasikam. Sundara Bhru Sunasikam. Sudvijam Sukal Sukapalo. Sudvijam Sukapolasyam. Sudvijam Sukapolasyam. Samakarna Vibhushanam. Samakarna Vibhushanam. Padma Kosha Palasaksham. Sundara Bhru Sunasikam. Sudvijam Sukapolasyam. Samakarna Vibhushanam. Padma Kosha Palashaksham. Sundara Bhru Sunasikam. Sudvijam Sukapolasyam. Samakarna Vibhushanam. Text 45 reads, Snigdha Pravrid Ganashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujatu Ruchirananam. Word meaning Snigdha, glistening. Pravrit, rainy season. Ghanashyamam, densely cloudy. Sarva, all. Saundarya, beauty. Sangraham, collection. Charu, beautiful. Ayata, bodily feature. Chaturbahu, unto the four armed. Sujata, ultimately beautiful. Ruchira, very pleasing. Ananam, face. Padmakosha, the whirl of the lotus flower. Palasa, petals. Aksham, eyes. Sundara, beautiful. Bhru, eyebrows. Sunasikam, raised nose. Sudvijam, beautiful teeth. Sukhapola, beautiful forehead. Asyam, face. Samakarna, equally beautiful ears. Vibhushanam, fully decorated. Translation. The Lord's beauty resembles a dark cloud during the rainy season. As the rainfall glistens, his bodily features also glisten. Indeed, he is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has four arms and an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals, a beautiful, highly raised nose, a mind-attracting smile, a beautiful forehead, and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. Report. After the scorching heat of the summer season, it is very pleasing to see dark clouds in the sky. I can tell you, in India, after the from about, well, the hottest months are April and May, but you start to feel it in March also. April and May, practically everybody who has money, but everybody in their own way go to some place or create some situation where they can escape from the heat. And anyone with money goes to a hill station. There are so many of them. Masuri, once Radhana Swami, myself, Mahanidhi, and Mahavishnu Swami, we went to Masuri to learn Hindi, but it was during the summer season, so it was very packed with people from Delhi and all around. Masuri was a hill station that the British were very fond of, and that's just in the foothills of the Himalayas, close to Dehradun. And you can see the Himalayan mountains in the morning as you chant your japa, and the clouds began to kind of lift or dissipate. You could see the mountains coming up. It was very, very attractive. Here it's explained when the first rains come, and usually they come. I remember in Bombay for years they would come on schedule, June 10th, the rains would come. So everybody would look forward to the refreshing rain. Of course, here in England, you really don't have much of an experience of extreme heat. Maybe a little cold in the winter, but not extreme cold. Extreme cold is compared to the Narayana's Dwara, the weapon of Lord Narayan. Lord Shiva, his weapon is heat. So when the two weapons fought, or the two weapons, you can say, personified weapons of the deities, Narayan and Lord Shiva. So, of course, the extreme cold was victorious. Narayan was victorious. And Prabhupada comments, you can tolerate extreme heat, but extreme cold, nothing you can do. You can't tolerate that. We know about extreme cold in Canada. Anyway, when that rain comes, it's so refreshing. And here, Lord Krishna is compared to a bluish black monsoon rain cloud. So just to give you an idea of how refreshing his form is. Well, there are other examples used in terms of refreshment when a man is working hard all day in the fields and he goes out at night and his body is, you know, tired and perhaps a little sweaty, and the full moon shines down on him and he feels actually some strength and some rejuvenation. You can try it if you don't believe it. Try it sometime. You'll see that it's actually there. So here's an experience that seeing Krishna's body is immediately becoming refreshed from the scorching heat of the miseries of this material world. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Barhavatam Samasitam Buddhasundarangam, the Lord wears a peacock feather in his hair, and his bodily complexion is just like a blackish cloud. We were just discussing today about Radha Gokulananda. His beauty is just incomparable, and he is supremely, not only is he supremely beautiful, but there's something about his air of confidence. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was so elegant, and some of the most beautiful poses or photos are of him with his, you know, head in the air, you know, very majestic. And so we were thinking, who else in the world would even think? Nobody has a hat like that, like Radha Gokulananda. You see his, what he's wearing this morning. Even the queen, she loves her hats, you know, she has so many hats. But she doesn't have a hat like that. And nobody would even think to wear a hat like that. He's so beautiful. So that's just a small example of the unique beauty of the Lord. He wears a peacock feather in his hair, you know. It's right in his hair. It's not attached to his cap. He wears peacock feathers in his hair. And his bodily complexion is just like a blackish cloud. Now, once in a darshan, Prabhupada was talking to a number of devotees, and there was some Afro-American devotee, you can say black devotee, at the back of the class who was trying to get Prabhupada's attention. You know, he was really, ooh, oh, oh, Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada was just ignoring him. So finally Prabhupada acknowledged him and he got up and he said, Prabhupada, is Krishna black? Oh, there he is. He wanted some confirmation or recognition or whatever. And Prabhupada said, yes, but not like you. Generally, white is considered a more attractive color, and black is a dark color. It doesn't have any color. But in this case, Krishna's shama. Shama is not exactly black. It's not blue. You have to see a monsoon rain cloud before you can understand shama. And the word sundara or snigna means very pleasing. Actually, sundara means beautiful. And snigda means very pleasing. So Krishna's beauty is not the kind of beauty that, in one sense perhaps, some kinds of beauty evoke different emotions, like if you see the beauty of Cyndi Lauper, is that her name? Cyndi Crawford. The model, Cyndi somebody or other. Crawford? Yeah. So that beauty evokes, at least in men, it evokes lusty feelings. And maybe in women, envious feelings. But Krishna's beauty is just very pleasing. Just like Prabhupada's beauty. Prabhupada was so beautiful. Now, if you analyze from a material perspective, maybe classically you could say that he didn't have the classic lines or whatever. But especially for his devotees, he was very, very beautiful. And that beauty was so pleasing. Krishna's beauty is so pleasing that not even millions of cupids, kandarpa koti kamaniya visheshashobam, can compare to it. The Lord's form as Vishnu is decorated in all opulence. Therefore, Lord Shiva is trying to see that most opulent form of Narayan or Vishnu. So, we know that there are different planets in the Brahma Jyoti, and each one is overseen, or the presiding deity is a different form of Vishnu. Now, we know 24 different forms of Vishnu, beginning with Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, etc., Narayan. But actually there are ananta rupa, there are unlimited forms of Vishnu. And Lord Shiva is trying to appreciate the opulence and the beauty of the Lord. And certainly Krishna's opulence is definitely a part of his beauty, or his beauty is an opulence. But at the same time, the gopis were really not interested in that kind of opulence. When they met him at Kurukshetra, he was coming from Dwarka, and he was in regal dress. He was surrounded by his wives, also in their with their wardrobes that a queen has. So it was all very opulent and regal. But the gopis just wanted to take him back to the bushes of Vrindavan. And you don't wear your best dress. He was just he wore cowherd boy dress there. So they perceived his beauty in a different way. But here, Lord Shiva, generally the worship of the Lord begins with the worship of Narayan. And it, by the way, it's not Narayana, a man who's tired and he's yawning, but it's Narayana, or Vishnu. Whereas the worship of Lord Krishna and Radha is most confidential. Lord Narayan is worshipable by the Pancharatrika, Vidya, regulative principles, whereas Lord Krishna is worshipable by the Bhagavata Vidhi. No one can worship the Lord in the Bhagavata Vidhi without going through the regulations of the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Actually, neophyte devotees worship the Lord according to Pancharatrika Vidhi, or the regulative principles enjoined in the Narada Pancharatra. Radha Krishna cannot be approached by the neophyte devotees. Therefore, temple worship according to regulative principles is offered to Lakshmi Narayan. Although there may be a Radha Krishna vigraha or form, the worship of the neophyte devotees is acceptable as Lakshmi Narayana worship. Worship according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi is called Vidhimarg, and worship according to the Bhagavad Vidhi principles is called Ragamarg. The principles of Ragamarg are especially meant for devotees who are elevated to the Vrindavan platform. Here's a big subject. We're worshiping Radha Krishna, but we are definitely following Pancharatrika Vidhi. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vidhi Aikantiki Harer Bhakti Utpatyaiva Kalpate. Anybody who thinks that they can jump over the process of regulative worship, they're simply a disturbance to society. Utpatyaiva Kalpate. For the most part, my experience is that most of us, maybe all, but certainly most, we're still struggling with the bodily conception of life. Where's the question of entering Vrindavan Lila, Vrindavan pastimes? We have to, that's why we need community, that's why we need friendships, that's why we need loving and nurturing amongst one another, because we are worshiping Krishna by force. We're worshiping by force of regulative principles. We're rising early in the morning, not because it's the most ecstatic thing in our lives, but it's part of the regulative principles. We trained ourselves to rise early in the morning. When you're regulated into doing it, it becomes easier, and you may confuse that with some kind of raga, but it's not. Raga means the devotee may not even get up early in the morning. He may feel one day that Krishna wants to sleep longer. Krishna wants to have a little vacation today. We can't make those kinds of decisions. We worship according to rules and regulations. Niyamya Bharatashaba Tasmatvam Indianyada Niyamya Bharatashaba. Curb lust, control your senses by regulation. That's what we're trying to do, and the deities are helping us. We don't need to worry about raga marga. That will come in its own time, at the right time, in the right place. Our acharya, in one way or another, will guide us in raga marga, and it will not be a collective epiphany. It will be something individual, and it won't interfere with the general mood, because always newer and newer people are coming, and there will, within the institution, within the temple environment, within the ashram, within the worship, there will always be the prevailing mood of Bhagavat, of Pancharatrika Vidhi. Now, Srila Prabhupada once described or confirmed the comparison, Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhyai, the spiritual master is offering all kinds of tasteful arrangements to Krishna. He compared devotees going out on book distribution, preaching to people and bringing them back to Lord Chaitanya's temple and offering them to Lord Chaitanya. He compared this, or confirmed the comparison of this, to raga. So it is a kind of special service to go out and call people. Not that one necessarily has full realization. Just like, for example, if you're engaged in following the regulative principles, if you're engaged in chanting, then you're liberated. You're already freed from the cycle of birth and death. The realization may not have fully manifested in your heart. There may still be some doubts, but you should know it, that you're on the liberated platform. And if you continue in that way, then you won't take another karmic birth again. Karmic birth means forced by your purva karma. You may or may not take birth under Krishna's guidance so that you can perfect your devotional service. That is a separate issue. But you are no longer washing about in the waves of material misery. Viche mayara boshe yachabeshe kachahabu duvubai. Bhakti Vinod says, I'm just like a blade of grass, being washed this way and that way. I don't know what is up, what is down, where I'm going today, where I'll be tomorrow. Out of control. But when you're engaged in regulative devotional service, this is definitely a dynamic process. There are results, and we see them in times of difficulty. We see that we become disturbed when there's disruption in the temple regulation or whatever. We see that devotees are actually really attached. And you may wonder, well, how did I become so attached? I was a free-thinking liberal, and all of a sudden now I'm, attached to this and that aspect of devotional service. The process actually works. I cannot understand, for the life of me, I cannot understand how I have developed so much attachment for this old man. What did he do to me? I don't have any affection for my father. Nobody in the material world interests me at all, really. What did this old man do to me? Well, it's the process of following sadhana bhakti. It works. So we don't need to worry about raga. We will be taken care of. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd boys, the cows, and everyone else are actually on the raga marga or bhagavat marga platform. They participate in basic rasas, shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. But although these five rasas are found in the Bhagavat Marg, the Bhagavat Marg is especially meant for vatsalya and madhurya, or paternal and conjugal relationships. Yet there is vipralamba sakya, the higher fraternal worship of the Lord, especially enjoyed by the cowherd boy. This is interesting. We may not have considered this before. We think of Arjuna as being a friend of Lord Krishna, and Raktak and Subal and so many others as Krishna's friends. So, but Arjuna and the gopas and gopis, actually sometimes the way it is done in the Gaudiya Math, and probably, maybe there's no proper way really, but when we say Radha, Krishna, Gopa, Gopi, Go. The cowherd boys, the gopis, the cowherd girls, and the cows in the Prema Dwani prayers, Gopa, Gopi, Go. We hear Gopa, Gopi, Nath, you know, like the cowherd boys and the controller of the gopis. We hear different things, all kinds of different things, but the standard thing is Gopa, Gopi, Go. So this friendship of the gopas is Vipralamba, or Arjuna, when he was in the universal, when he saw the universal form of the Lord, he became very fearful, because he thought, oh, I never realized who you were. Before, I was just treating you like an ordinary friend. We were sitting on the same bed together, we were joking. You know, please forgive me. But the gopas, they never ask Krishna for forgiveness. Forget it. He's a junior, you know. They wrestle, and when Krishna loses, he's got to carry them on his shoulders. There's no like, oh, you're Krishna, you know, please take a seat, you know. Nothing, no special worship. He's one of the boys. He's just one of the boys, and a junior at that. So they treat Krishna equally, just as they treat one another, and they are never afraid of him, nor do they ever beg his pardon. Thus, the Raga Marg, or Bhagavata Marg, friendship, exists on the higher platform of Krishna, namely the platform of Vipralamba friendship. We've heard of this Vipralamba Bhava, how we must worship Lord Krishna in separation. So, this word Vipralamba, I don't know how it's the actual meaning of it, but anybody know? Paternal friendship, paternal service, and conjugal service are visible in the Vrindavan Raga Marga relationships. Without serving Krishna according to the Vidhi Marg, regulative principles of the Pancharatrika Vidhi, unscrupulous persons want to jump immediately to the Raga Marga principles. No, I can't imagine anybody would want to do that, right? Can't think of anyone who would do that, can we? Such persons are called Sahajya. Oh. There are also demons who enjoy depicting Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis, taking advantage of Krishna by their licentious character. In Vrindavan, you see people, I don't know if they're there now, but there used to be one temple going. It was at, just as you get into Vrindavan, if you're going along Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. Anyway, they had a stage there, and especially during Kartik or Ras Purnima, whatever, you would actually see they would have performances, and people would come to watch and enjoy. And men would dress up as gopis and dance with Krishna. You know, they really were, that's what they wanted to do. They really wanted to have, they wanted Krishna to justify their licentious behavior. And to a degree, not everyone, but to a degree, when people go to these katankars, people who are expert at katha, like Murari Bapu and Dhongre Maharaj, and there are so many, Chota, Dhongre, and, you know, small Murari Bapu, they all have their imitators, etc., who do the circuit. There's a circuit where you go around from place to place doing Bhagavat Katha, and, you know, according to the degree of your, how famous you are and how good an actor you are, etc., you have a following. But basically, people go to these Kathankars, and they always generally end up talking about the 10th canto. I mean, some of them are just unabashed. They don't even look at any other part of the Bhagavatam. They just talk about the 10th canto. And people are sitting there enjoying. He's crying on stage. Dongre would sometimes roll off his asana, you know, in tears. And we had one fellow here who used to do that. John Tirtha. Anyway, people are thinking, yes, I am Krishna and my wife is Radha. Believe it or not, that's what they thought. And we will have Rasalila together, and they would go there and watch. And not just a few people, many, many people, but they just weren't trained. There was no one like Prabhupada to tell them, rascal. They did. We're so lucky that Prabhupada was not fearful to call a spade, and to call rascal nonsense, sahajya. We need this kind of correction. Otherwise, our senses appear, even in devotional life, our senses try to get the best of us. And we don't want to go from one kind of hippie to another kind of hippie. We want to be happy, not hippie. So this is the thing, character, regulation, following the process, and being critical according to Shruti, Smriti, and Purana, according to Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra. We're not taking away anything from the loving emotional elements of bhakti. We want that. We want emotion. We want love. But it must be guided by proper intelligence. Otherwise, it becomes useless. Srama eva hi kevalam. These demons who print books and write lyrics on the Raga Marga principle are surely on the way to hell. Unfortunately, they lead others down with them. Devotees in Krishna consciousness should be very careful to avoid such demons. One should strictly follow the Vidhi Marga regulative principles in the worship of Lakshmi Narayan, although the Lord is present in the temple as Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna includes Lakshmi Narayan. Therefore, when one worships the Lord according to regulative principles, the Lord accepts the service in the role of Lakshmi Narayan. In the Nectar of Devotion, full instructions are given about the Vidhi Marga worship of Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan. Although there are 64 kinds of offenses one can commit in Vidhi Marga worship. In Raga Marga worship, there's no consideration of such offenses because the devotees on that platform are very much elevated and there's no question of offense. So sometimes it is said, tejiyasam na doshaya. There's no fault in someone who is very elevated. We cannot imitate, and we shouldn't try to imitate. Just like sometimes devotees think, especially young devotees, especially young teenage devotees, early 20s, they think, you know, I will go directly to sannyas. But that's nonsense. It is recommended for everyone to go through all four ashramas. There's a lesson to be learned in each ashram. And in some cases, rare cases, it is possible to learn those lessons by hearing. If one can learn by hearing of the experience of others, okay, make progress, go forward. But in general, everyone, all of our acharyas went from student life to grihastha life to renounce, to retired life and renounced life. All. But Bhaktisiddhanta was perhaps the only exception. And Tejiasam, he was, you know, a walking encyclopedia, a ray of Vishnu. So, similarly, we have to go through the process of raga, of pancharatrika. It will help us. We will come to raga, but there's no need to aspire for raga at the expense of pancharatrika. But if we do not follow the regulative principles on the Vidhimarg platform and keep our eyes trained to spot offenses, oh gosh, and keep our eyes trained to spot offenses, we will not make progress. So one has to be completely anartha nirvritti. One has to be free from the propensity, vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaropastha vegam. One has to be completely free from fault finding. And it doesn't mean like the modern thing. What's the modern expression is? Judgmental. Oh, I hate that. It's you don't make any judgments about anything. You just merge. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We do have to see things according to Shastra. But our main goal should be to see everyone nicely situated in blissful devotional service. Not fault finders, their goal is to put you down and to step on your head, to establish their own preeminence, their own prominence by becoming an authority on finding faults in others. Oh, he's so wise, he's so learned. In his description of Krishna's beauty, Lord Shiva uses the words charayata chaturbahu. And sujata ruchirananam, indicating the beautiful form of Lord of Narayana or Vishnu. Those who worship Lord Krishna describe him as sujata ruchirananam. In the Vishnu Tattva, there are hundreds and thousands and millions of forms of the Supreme Lord. But all of these forms, of all these forms, the form of Krishna is the most beautiful. Thus, for those who worship Krishna, the word sujata ruchirananam is used. The four arms of Lord Vishnu have different purposes. The hands holding a lotus flower and conch shell are meant for the devotees, whereas the other two hands holding a disc and mace or club are meant for the demons. But actually, all of the Lord's arms are auspicious. Whether they are holding conch shells and flowers or clubs and discs, the demons killed by Lord Vishnu's chakra, disc, and club are elevated to the spiritual world, just like the devotees who are protected by the hands holding the lotus flower and conch shell. However, the demons who are elevated to the spiritual world are situated in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, whereas the devotees are allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets. Those who are devotees of Lord Krishna are immediately elevated to Goloka, Vrindavan planet. Well, we hear some people, you know, it happened in my early days also, there were devotees who just were not satisfied, and we had all kinds of things like the Gopi Bhava Club, and Prabhupada smashed that. And then we had the Kshatriya group, you know, people who wanted to have more than one wife and wanted all the, sensuous licenses of a Kshatriya. So they started lifting weights and going to health clubs and carrying guns. And they were the Kshatriyas. Yeah, well, we have to see about that. There was never any challenge whether they were actually Kshatriya, but the qualities of a Kshatriya are described in the Bhagavad Gita. He's also very generous, and he's a leader, and there's many natural, wonderful qualities. So, this demons who are, you know, nowadays we hear that, someone was telling me about someone who has decided that it's, you know, Krishna awards the same benefit to the devotees or the demons, so I'll just become a demon, and then I'll also go back to that. It's not exactly like that. It's not that Krishna, you know, went around killing every demon. It was only very big demons. And the demons today, even, you know, Idi Amin, or, I don't know, George Bush, or whoever you have, they're not very big. They're just little small guys. They're not going to get killed by Krishna. Well, they will indirectly. In fact, I think some of them, like the last one mentioned, are already brain dead. So, anyway. The best we can do is become dasa, dasa, anudasa. Now, here's something. It's very hard in devotional service. We have so many challenges. Just when you think that you've faced all the challenges and you've overcome all the obstacles, wham! You know, a left hook that you weren't prepared for, right in the jaw. Another kind of challenge. And we have to be ready for these things, because collectively we can definitely help one another by our activities. There are different ways you can approach Krishna. One is by jnana, one is by yoga, but Krishna says no, by karma, by activities. You can know me. Bhakti-amam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatataha. You can know me in truth by devotional service. Praveshtum cha parantapai bhaktya tananyaya sakya. You can know me only by devotional service, by activities. So we can do a lot to encourage and inspire, but if we get too attached to that, thinking that I don't have any individual responsibility, then we're going to be in trouble, because we're very low. We are the lowest of the low, and it's sad. It's really sad, but there are very few pillars, unrockable, solid, staunch pillars. So, on the one hand, we have to learn how to get the essence. We have to be swan-like, interestingly enough. We have to take the milk and discard the water, knowing that you are the one who benefits. you are the one who is making progress. If you're not aware of where you're going and the benefit accruing to you, then you're in trouble. It'll be hard to persevere. It'll be hard to survive. You have to simultaneously be, I like the expression of Covey. It's just very appropriate. You have to be independent, but at the same time dependent, or as he calls, interdependent. You have to know that your devotional journey is uniquely yours, and at the end of the day, you can't blame your failures on anybody else. And yet at the same time, and you may have your own unique desires in devotional service, your career, your aspirations, etc. And they may not necessarily conform to what some people in the community want you to conform to. You may not fit into the mold, but you're the one who has to answer at the end of the day. Bhajan koro sadhan koro murti janle hoy. At the time of death, you know, you're the one who has to answer. You're the GBC of your own spiritual life. And Prabhupada would always come to his own, and he would call for his GBC men to answer what's going on here. And at the same time, we have to work together. So you don't want to... Dependent, weak people, they'll drag you down. So you have to find people who are not dependent in the sense that they're not weak. Of course, we're all dependent on Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy. That's obvious. But Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy, Guru is independent. So that's an interdependent relationship. And you choose to serve the spiritual master. You choose. You have an option. Nobody's forcing. You have an option. You need to exercise that option. You need to choose someone and follow. So you're responsible, and you can also withdraw, just as you made a decision and you made promises, etc. You have to be careful. But if there's a problem, and there are ways of confirming that also, there are proper ways of doing that, then you can always, nothing is final. So in that way, it is an interdependent relationship. The Lord's beauty is compared to rainfall because when the rain falls in the rainy season, it becomes more and more pleasing to the people. And after the scorching heat of the summer season, the people enjoy the rainy season very much. Indeed, they even come out of their doors in the villages and enjoy the rainfall directly. What is that? Walking in the rain. That song. There's something special about walking in the rain when you just let go. You know, I'm going to get wet, but it doesn't matter. It's not heavy rain, light rain, and it's something very refreshing. And especially if you've been in, you know, suffering from scorching heat. I don't know. Of course, there was a pretty torrid summer here. It was pretty hot, I'm told. And people were, to a degree, suffering. And when the rain came, there was relief. But in the villages, the rain is, it means so many things. It means the crops will grow. It means that they don't have air conditioners in every little grass hut. You know, they suffer the heat. And when the rain comes, it's like they get out and they just, you know, delight in the soothing rain. Even the wells dry up, the lakes dry up, so there's nothing like in some cases, there's nothing like going for a swim. So that rain is really refreshing. And the devotees enjoy the Lord's beauty because the Lord's bodily features are compared to the clouds of the rainy season. The devotees enjoy the Lord's beauty because it is a collection of all kinds of beauties. Therefore, the word sarva sondarya sangraham is used. No one can say that the body of the Lord is wanting in beautiful parts. It is completely purna. Everything is complete. God's creation, God's beauty, and God's bodily features. All these are so complete that all one's desires can become fully satisfied when one sees the beauty of the Lord. The word sarva sondarya indicates that there are different types of beauties in the material and spiritual worlds, and that the Lord contains all of them. Both materialists and spiritualists can enjoy the beauty of the Lord because the Supreme Lord attracts everyone, including demons and devotees, materialists and spiritualists. He is called Krishna. Similarly, his devotees also attract everyone. As mentioned in the Sad Goswami Stotra, Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro Nirmatsaro Pujito. The Goswamis are equally dear to the Dira devotees and the Adira demons. Lord Krishna was not very pleasing to the demons when he was present in Vrindavan, but the six Goswamis were pleasing to the demons when they were present in Vrindavan. That is the beauty of the Lord's dealing with his devotees. Sometimes the Lord gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna fought simply by giving directions, yet it was Arjuna who took the credit for fighting Prabhupada and Roy Ram, or Ray Rama, as he was called in those days. He was, I don't know what the politically correct way, anyway, he was gay. But he was also quite talented, and Prabhupada had him editing, doing some editing work on the Bhagavad Gita, the first edition that came out with Macmillan. So Roy Ram, you know, he was starving for some recognition. So at one point Prabhupada said, all right, we'll publish it in your name, Bhagavad Gita by Roy Ram. Prabhupada was not. Luckily, Roy Rama left and didn't force the issue. But Prabhupada was not attached. Of course, later on, when he had established Upadhi, obviously he had to maintain, he had to sit on a big vyasasan. He had to allow himself to be called Prabhupada in front of his godbrothers also. And he instructed us. We didn't know what is Prabhupada. Well, we asked him, can we use Prabhupada? He said, okay. He would always say that the great devotee is called Vishnupada, this Pada, Prabhupada. So then someone said, Prabhupada, can we, Swamiji, can we call you Prabhupada? Okay. But even though he was doing these things, he still remained the same humble sadhu that he was when he was serving the devotees at 26 Second Avenue, serving them and cleaning up after them and preaching to them and preaching or tolerating the... I took Bharat for the first time to the Bowery. First time he saw the Bowery, where 26 Second Avenue... How many of you have seen 26 Second Avenue? Very few. It's a pretty low place. You can imagine drunks lying in the gutter. Boy, what's the comparable place here where we have our Food for Life Commission? Yeah. So that's where Prabhupada was there preaching. And, but still he was so humble, he would preach to alcohol, to drunkards. Once he preached for about 10 minutes to a drunkard and he was listening and they were talking and devotees didn't know what they were saying, but Prabhupada came away from it and said, oh, he's a very intelligent man. And then there was the drunkard who brought a roll of toilet paper into the temple and put it on the Vyasasan, or on the altar rather, and, you know, walked out. And Prabhupada was so happy with that. He talked about it for a couple of days, you know, even a bum can offer patram pushpam palam toyam, can please Krishna. So he was very, very exceptionally humble. In fact, humility was, Hari Sari described it as Prabhupada's crest jewel quality, his humility. And yet he sat on a big seat and he assumed the role of acharya, etc. Because there was utility there. People needed that. Just like I know, and you'll forgive me if I take the liberty, but one of my godbrothers was very authoritarian and very, his image was one of being very powerful, and devotees were afraid of him. But at the same time, many devotees took shelter of him because they needed that symbol or that example of strength, and they needed to feel sheltered and protected. And inside, the man was actually very soft. But you didn't get to see that side very often. He was careful to protect it and reveal it only amongst some intimate associates. Otherwise, externally, everybody thought of him as a powerful guy. But I saw devotees from all over the world, even here from London. One lady went all the way to his place to get initiation. She wanted that, to be protected by him, as he was protected by Prabhupada. Yet it was Arjuna who took the credit for fighting. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. You, O Savyasachi, Arjuna, can be but an instrument in the fight. Everything was arranged by the Lord, but the credit of victory was given to Arjuna. Similarly, in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything is happening according to the predictions of Lord Chaitanya, but the credit goes to Lord Chaitanya's sincere servants. Thus the Lord is described herein as Sarva Sondarya Sangraham. All right. There's not enough people left to ask any questions anyway. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.